Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, yes, you are now in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. Yes, this is Saturday night, January the 13th, 2018. We do come to you live each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m., live from Detroit, Michigan. Well, on tonight, we do have a Deacon Marvin Cox standing by to bring the Word of God again on tonight. As you all know, that he's my guest every second Thursday and every second Saturday, and he always comes forth with an inspirational poem. So he's going to do the same thing on tonight. He's going to share an inspirational poem with us first, and following the poem, we're going to go into our music break, and then he's going to come back, and he's going to break open the Word of God to us on tonight. So I'm asking that you would please get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he delivers God's word on tonight. So please pass the word on to your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your relatives, even your enemies. Let them know about this international worldwide platform that comes forth every Saturday and every Thursday night at the same time from 8 to 9 so they can be blessed by the word of God. But we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners if you will go into prayer with me at this time. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We come giving your name praise, glory, and honor because of who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. You are worthy to be praised. You searches the heart. Man looks at the outer appearance, but you searches the heart, the mind, and the soul. So you know all about us. So we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy on today. Toward each one of us, we know that we're not worthy of your grace or mercy, but we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions on tonight, so that whatever we do for you over this worldwide platform will not be hindered, that it will not be in vain, but that it will accomplish everything that you set forth for it to do over the airwaves on tonight. So it's our prayer, Heavenly Father, that you will move by your Spirit through the man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, as he breaks open your word and explains the word of God and to the point that we will have clarity and understanding. And that's what we are to do. Your word tells us we are to get understanding. And we perish because we lack your knowledge, which is in your word. So we thank you for your word on tonight. And we ask that you would touch those that are maybe tuning on tonight that do not have a personal relationship with your son, Jesus Christ, who are not saved in his name on tonight, that as your word goes forth, We pray, Lord, that you will move by your Spirit and through power, through the Holy Spirit, that they will be able to surrender and open their own mouth, those that are not saved, and seek Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts and save them on tonight. They will be able to come to know their God purpose and walk in it and fulfill their God purpose in the earth. For your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. We continue to lift up our mother, Mother Phillips. She's the mother of one of the mothers of Greater Shirley Faith Baptist Church. And we know that you are the healer. So we just thank you in advance for what you're doing in her life. And we know that she's going to have a praise report and another testimony of your healing power. So we thank you in advance in Jesus' name on her behalf. And, oh, God, all those that are listening that are sick and afflicted, we know that you are the healer. So we pray that you would touch, heal, and deliver all over the land as only you can, that they, too, would have testimonies, that they know that it was you who have healed them for your glory in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are affected by the mudslides in California, even though they went through the fires and the wildfires and then they had their rains and all types of things are going on in California. But we know that you are able. We know that you sit high and you look low and you have all control in your hands. So we ask that you would touch the hearts and minds of those that have been affected by this mudslide in California and those that have been affected by any type of disaster all over the land. You know all about it, Heavenly Father. Continue to touch their hearts that their faith will continue to be strong and build up, and they will continue to look to the hills from which comes their help. For we know that all our help comes from you. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father, again for who you are. We bless your name on tonight. We pray that you would help us to decrease so that you may increase in us on tonight, that you be glorified in us. For we know that it's not about us, but it's about you. So we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to spread the good news of Jesus Christ one more time over the worldwide platform. And it's all for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, we do have another spiritual food for thought for tonight. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, it is dangerous to be out of the will of God. Once again, our spiritual food for tonight, our spiritual food for thought for tonight is coming to us saying, and it is a fact, it is dangerous to be out of the will of God. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassadors-vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, I do not have any announcements at this time, but I do would like to say and give a great shout-out to my Bishop James A. Jennings and the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church church family. Thank God I was able to visit with them on last Sunday morning before I had to go, and I'm filling in as a musician at another church for the last couple of months. And I thank God for every gift and talent that he's blessed and anointed me with. And so I'm playing for another church right now for a couple of months, and I had an opportunity to visit with my home church on last Sunday morning. It was so good to see the bishop and the entire Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church family members. And Lord be willing, I hope to see everyone again on tomorrow morning, before I have to leave out and go pray for the other church on tomorrow. But I just wanted to give a great shout-out to Bishop James A. Jennings and the Greater Shirley Faith Baptist Church family. Right now, I am going to go into our music break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox, and he's going to share with us another inspirational poem that the Lord has placed on his heart to share with the worldwide listeners on tonight. And once he shared that poem, he's going to go directly into the Word. So I do pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and your paper ready so you can follow along with the man of God as he shares the Word of God with us on tonight. As I always say, we don't want you to take it lightly or for granted or even think that we're making up things as we go, but we want you to see it for yourself and read it for yourself according to God's Word, and then take notes as you go through the Word of God on tonight. So during the week, you can go back and be refreshed about what you've heard on tonight. So right now, we're going to go to our music break, and then following this music break, once we get completed, we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox, and he is going to, again, share the Word of God with us on tonight. And first, before that, he's going to share his poem. So right now, through it all, we're going to give God total praise. Why? because even though we don't understand it all right now, he is still worthy to be praised because of who he is. I thank God for who he is. Total praise. Well, praise the Lord. I see the enemy's trying to get busy here. There we go. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Once again, yes, you are in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? And I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. Yes, again, tonight is Saturday night, January 13th, 2018. Before we bring Deacon Marvin Cox on to bring forth the Word of God and share the Word of God with us on tonight, and before that, he's going to share with us another poem. But I just want to put it in the atmosphere again. As we know those that are saved in Jesus' name, we know that the Word of God is true. And the Word of God tells us, and this is a command to the saints of God, that we are to pray for our world leaders. We are to pray for our pastors. We are to pray for those that watches out for us. And so right now, we need to be continually lifting up our president before the Lord, not only President Trump, but all world leaders that may have hidden motives or agendas. I thank God, again, it goes back to God is not like man. God searches the heart and the minds of men, women, boys, and girls. So he knows all about us, and he knows what's in our hearts, and he knows our intentions, whether they are hidden motives or agendas. God knows all about it. So we continually lift up our president, Donald Trump, and all world leaders to God, and our pastors and our shepherds, our doctors and lawyers and nurses and caregivers and the police and law enforcement officers and all those that are doing any type of work that would benefit the body of Christ or people, period. We want to continue to lift them up before the Lord, and we will continue to do what's right for all people, that God will be glorified through each individual. So that's my word for the listeners on tonight. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we hear or see or think about our president, we may not all be in agreement with what he's doing or what he's saying, but God is in total control, and he's going to have to give an account to God just like you and I. So but in the meantime, we must continue to lift him up in prayer. So that's my desire for you on tonight. Continue to lift up our world leaders and our pastors and shepherds and all those that watch us out and have our best interests at heart, that God will continue to use them, that he will be glorified through them, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So right now, we're going to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share his poem first, and then he's going to go directly into the word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I yield the mic to you at this time.
Hey, man. Once again, Brother Brown, thank you. First, I thank the Lord for this opportunity, and I thank you for providing for the platform to reach out to God's people, to let them know what, as you said earlier, not what I say, but what does say the Lord. It's, you know, it's truly an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure. And it's also very humbling to know that God has chosen you to bring forth the word. It's an awesome experience, and I pray that I move myself all the way out of the way so that I could bring you the unadulterated word of God. Amen. Now, our poem for tonight is simply called Tiny Sparks. Tiny sparks they seem to be. We let them fly so needlessly. We let them fall on one and all with no concern now where they fall. And then we wonder on our way, a few sparks fly every day, not ever glancing back upon the lives we've left, never glancing back to gaze upon the lives we left ablaze. Just tiny spark the tongue requires to start a flame, 10,000 fires. An idle word, a vengeful slur, not even knowing that they occur. We act as though we're playing games while leaving countless lives in flames. Never do we stop to pray, is that what Jesus would say? Tiny sparks they seem to be, we let them fly so needlessly. Oh God, my cry to heaven flung, teach me how to tame my tongue. Amen. I'll now go into tonight's lesson. As I said earlier, it's an honor and it's a privilege for me to bring forth God's word. It's also very humbling, and you know, I tremble every time it comes time to bring forth the word. I bring it forth with confidence, but I'm fearful in the back of my mind that I might put too much of myself into God's word and take away from the meaning for which he has given it to us. Now, tonight's lesson is, I'll be reading to you from the Gospel as recorded by St. Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 13 through 16. And it reads, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, the more I study, the more God reveals to me, and there is always a story within a story within a story concerning God's word. He may give you a message, but there is several messages leading up to that main message. And today, we are all familiar, or most of us are familiar with the parable of the prodigal son. And we know what he did. He asked his father for the goods that fall to him. But the story inside tonight's lesson is being wasteful. In verse number 13, lets us know that he went away from his father. If you don't know the story, I'm going to briefly tell you about it. This was a young man who asked his father. He said he wanted the goods that fell to him. In other words, he wanted the inheritance that was due him upon his father's death. But he could not wait. He was a very impatient young man, just like young people are today. He couldn't wait. So he practically went and he demanded that his father give him his inheritance. He said, give me the goods that fall to me. And by him being the younger son, he received one-third of the inheritance, while his older brother received two-thirds. But it says that he gathered all his things together. So as most young people do when they move away from their home, he took everything. He did not leave one shoe because he didn't have no intentions on coming back to his father's house. And if we notice, sometimes people move so far away from their parents. They don't move next door. Some of them do, but they move so far up under the spiritual leadership, up under the moral guidance of their parents, so they could practically get out there and do whatever it is that they want to do. And so upon leaving, it says that he wasted his substance. He moved to a far country. If he was down on the east side of town, he moved on to the west side. He moved to one of the outer suburbs so that he could go out there, as most young people do, and do his thing. But it says that he wasted his substance with riotous living. So in other words, his brother, he was out of control. He had freedom that he did not know existed. He knew that it existed, but he didn't know that freedom was that kind. He didn't know that freedom was that sweet. He didn't know that freedom would allow him to do whatever it was that he wanted to do. Why? Because he was up away from the jurisdiction of his dad. He was up away from the big brother that would have surely told him, now you know dad would not approve of your activities. So, as the scripture states, he wasted. He wasted his substance. And that's what our topic is about tonight, wasteful Christians. And we are so wasteful in so many ways that it's kind of hard to imagine how sometimes we're wasteful in things that God has given us. And if we could use this brother as an example, his father gave this to him. He didn't earn it. He didn't go out there and work for it. He didn't do anything except for to be born up under the lineage of his father. How sometimes we do, we are given things and we are not able to appreciate those things that are given to us. So needless to say, he went out and soon hard times fell upon this young man, because it says in God's word that he spent all with riotous living. He went out, he didn't have any control. He was out of control when he was doing that which he was doing. He said that, hey, it's they say for the commercial J.G. Wentworth, it's my money, and I want it now. And I'm going to spend it the way I please. I'm going to do what it is that I feel that I'm big enough to do. So needless to say, the brother was extremely wasteful. But then, right after he spent his last money, It says in God's word that a famine came upon the land. And he began to be in want. Now, I know a lot of us can identify with that after we have come into a possible windfall. And then we splurged. You call that splurging. And we splurged. And then the minute the last quarter was gone, the roof started leaking. The hot water tank went out. It got a flat tire. Ran out of gas. All of those things that we could have secured earlier, it seemed like all heck seemed to be breaking loose. Why? Because when we had that opportunity to secure those things without delay, our agenda was concerned with something else. So it said that the brother, he wasted his substance. So all that he have, all his materialistic things, dissipated. And it says that no man would give unto him. And so moving right along, he began to think about all of those things that he squandered, all of those things that he wasted, all of those things that he let slip through his fingers. And I thank God for this, because I've been telling myself this particular lie for a long time. I would tell people that he went and he joined himself to a citizen of a far country. But as I was reading today, the words just jumped off the page to say he joined himself to a citizen. So in other words, he went out there and he found himself an employer. So he was obligated by the rules and regulations of the employer to do what it was that the employer wanted him to do the bidding of the employer. And so the employer sent him out to his field to feed swine. I remember this was a brother who was well off, who had packed up everything, who went out there and did not care about any of the things that his father had so diligently worked hard to give him. The brother was wasteful. And so at that time, because of his heritage, it was beneath them to feed or to be associated with the swine, which at that time was known as an unclean animal. And the pods that he was to feed the swine, they became very, very appetizing to him. He said, boy, that show looks good. And you know, if something is against your heritage, something is against your tradition, you just don't indulge in that. But it became really attractive to him. And at that time, he remembered that he didn't have to live like that. He remembered that he was living way beneath his privilege. So he decided that he could not go back in the same way in which he left. He had to have a spirit of contrition. He had to have a regretful spirit. He had to have a humble spirit when he went back, and that he left with arrogance in his heart, but he came back with humbleness in his heart. And so I'm going to move right along and tell you what is the consequences of being wasteful. Now, Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 6th verse, is basically telling us about the Lord and the Sermon on the Mount. And he's telling us, he's warning us, not telling us, he's warning us what we should not do. And it reads, give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. So this is a warning coming directly from the Lord, telling us about being wasteful, telling us that sometimes we do things in such a lavish way that we squander that which God has given us. And so I'm going to go to the dictionary, if you don't mind, momentarily. I'm going to give you a definition of being wasteful. Is it wasteful of a person, action, or process using or expending something of value carelessly. When you do things in to extravagance, and I know that we all have done that, how there was Imelda Marcos. She had over 3,000 pair of shoes. Now, if she was away one pair of shoes a day, she would not have to wear the same pair of shoes for over 10 years. And how sometimes we collect things, we got more abundant of this and more abundant of that, but we keep on because we have affinity for doing these things. We have a thing for going out there and accumulating things. We begin to collect things, but if you notice, these things that we collect is for our own selfish pleasure. Now, I kind of remind myself of Imelda Marcos. At one time, I used to love myself some shoes. I would go out and buy shoes left and right and right and left. And so by me being in the situation I am in, sometimes when I leave out the house, I might wear a pair of gym shoes because it's snow outside, or I wear a pair of boots. But then in the car, I would have my dress shoes. So when I got to church, I put on my dress shoes, and then when I leave the church, I'll put back on my gym shoes. And so over time, my shoes were accumulating in the back seat of the car. So one day, a brother of mine, he told me, he said, "You know what?" He said, "Deacon, I like those shoes that you got on." And so the Lord touched my heart and asked me to ask him, "Hey, you like these? You want them?" And at that time, it seemed like a burden was lifted off of me because I had enough shoes that I didn't have to wear the same pair to church for quite some time. So when I asked the brother, did he want the shoes? He said yes, and I just took them off my feet and put the other shoes on, and I felt liberated because all of those years, I mean, you could only wear one pair of shoes at a time. You could only live in one house at a time. I mean, you may have a vacation home, but you could only live in one house at a time. You could only drive one car at a time, but we get so involved in the things that we do that we forget. We forget that there's somebody out there that is in need. So I was wasteful. I mean, and I think about the money that I spent for shoes. I said to myself, I could have, you know, got this or I could have gotten that. But the Lord is saying not to cast your pearls before swine, not to give that which is holy, which brings us to a whole new attitude. As I say, he was saying that during the Sermon on the Mount to let us know that do not waste good things on people who do not appreciate them. And the Lord often referred to animals as people, or people, excuse me, with the characteristics of an animal. I'll put it that way. Because if a person got good vision, what would we say? You say that individual has an eagle eye. That individual is slothful. You say that he's slothful, which is after the sloth. Or you say he moves like a turtle. So all of God's creatures, there's a human parallel. You say that fox, he's cunning. That snake, he's deceptive. So over time, we begin to take on the characteristics of these animals. We know that it said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. God does not want us. He wants us to spread his word, but he don't want us to give that word or give that which he has given us to people that are unappreciative or ungrateful of those things in which God has blessed us with. To give you an example of someone being wasteful, most children I know are very wasteful. They might want something, take two bites out of it, and they say, you know, they have thrown it in the trash. They've thrown it in the garbage. They don't no longer have no use for it. Then a few minutes later, they're asking you for something else. God is letting us know not to be like that and give
people things of his that are unappreciative,
that are ungrateful.
Now, this brother, he went and he lived a lavish life. He had friendly, he had many friends. He partied all night long. He lived a good life.
But the minute he ran out,
he had no friends. He had no place to go. The good times stopped.
And so I'm going to give you an example of being wasteful.
It's to be prodigal, to profligate, to be uneconomical, inefficient, lavish, excessive. Now, 3,000 pair of shoes is excessive.
Intemperate, that means to be out of control with my spending habits, not to be frugal, to go out and get things just because I have the buying power to do those things. If you notice, a lot of people have gotten credit card debt. Why? Because they was wasteful. Because credit, if you're not careful, credit is a monster. It can be a wasteful thing. Just because your name is good on the signature, on the dotted line, sometimes, and we know by the housing crisis that we had a few years ago, that just because we could put our name on a piece of paper, now we could afford it for a couple of months, but a lot of people lost their houses. Why? Because the banks were being wasteful. They were granting loans to people who could not afford them, and it eventually led to a crisis. So we have to be careful, our way of thinking. It says to be thriftless, to be a spendthrift, which is to be, as the streets would say, to be a big baller and a shot caller. And it makes it needless and it's useless to us, because that which we crave, that which we desire, we find out within a short amount of time that we really didn't want it in the first place. Just because we could sample it, we went out there and we got it. And sometimes we want that car, we go out, and what they say is that we have buyer's remorse. And to squander means to waste something, especially your money or your time, in a reckless or foolish way, to misspend or to misuse. So my brothers and my sisters, I'm not here to bash anybody, but have we been spending our time uplifting the Lord like he wants us to? Or have we been wasting our time looking at some of these programs on TV that is doing everything that the Lord tells them not to do? And not only that, but glorifying the characters and lifting them up and putting them high on the pedestal and really enjoying the wrongdoing, even though it's just fiction, even though it's just fantasy, but really getting enjoyment out of the things that they do. Now, Romans tell me that you don't have to do those things, but if you find pleasure in them that do those things, that what happens? You are worthy of death. And I'm not here to bash anybody. I'm not here to put anybody down. But as I say, we've been wasteful with our time concerning God. We've been wasteful with a lot of things concerning God. I mean, I'm more than sure that we spend more time doing other things than we do reading the Bible. We spend more time shopping, and as I say, a whole lot of miscellaneous things that we do, whereas God does not get the glory. And I'm not saying that. Well, God says that his spirit would not dwell with men at all times. He also says that 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, that's over in Exodus, and that thou shalt not do any work. So he's not asking for all of your time. He's just asking for some of your time. And as I progress through these scriptures, I will give you some examples of exactly what God means by that, how wasteful we are. Now, I'm going to move right expeditiously along to, one moment please, to Galatians, the fourth chapter. chapter, the ninth verse, 9 through 11. And it reads, it said, "But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God," I want to stop right there. So now that you're known by God, or known of God, this is telling some people that we are in church, but we're just in the building. God knows that we have made our presence in His house. It says, "How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental principles of the world?" This is asking a question. Whose slaves you want to be once more? If you think about that dog, you think about how he gets sick, how he vomits, how he returns to that same vomit that made him sick. Said that you want, and when you united yourself with the house of prayer, we were free. We had come out of bondage. So Brother Paul here is letting us know. He said, what is wrong with you? Why do you want to go back to those things that had you in bondage? Why do you want to go back to those things that had you in captivity? So you observe days and months and seasons and years. And he makes a statement right here. "I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain." So Paul is, in a nice way, in a kind way, in a sweet way, is letting us know why I think. So I'm afraid I may have. So he cannot be the ultimate judge of that, because he really don't know what the impact of his teachings were. But he said, "I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain." So Paul had become so frustrated at this particular time that he was thinking that, as a lot of preachers do, I hope you out there listening, preacher, as well as member, a lot of preachers thinking to themselves, "I just wasted my time, because that boy, that girl ain't going to listen, that woman ain't going to listen, that man ain't going to listen." So it says, I believe that my teaching for you and of you and to you is in vain. And it's a shame when we get to that stage in our life that our teachers don't see no progress in us, because they feel that they're wasting their time. But if you notice, the next day, they right back at it, right there back teaching and preaching. But as I was telling you earlier, God don't want us to give those things, give that which is holy, give His word to people that don't care nothing about Him. People who don't appreciate that what you're doing in this. There's a lot of unappreciative people out there. I know each and every last one of us have been in that situation where we gave that which is holy to the dogs. They had no appreciation for that which we tried to do. They may have told us, you know, "I'm in need." And we may have been aware of that need, but we did not have enough at that particular time to meet their total need. They might say, "Well, you know what, I need $100 because they just cut off my lights." And you say to yourself, "Well, I don't have $100, but I got $45, and, you know, I'll be glad to give that to you. Or you could come over here, you know, for a little while." And you go in there and you say, but this is all I got. And you give it to them. And the first thing they say, "What? Is that all you got?" So this ungratefulness sometimes, and it makes us feel bad. Makes us feel real bad, because we gave our all, and there was no appreciation to that which we gave, that which we were in a position to give, as opposed to saying, "Thank you, you know, I appreciate it. Now I'm a little bit closer to my goal. I'm a little bit closer to my destination." So we have to be careful sometimes when we're dealing with people like that. And it's unfortunate to say, but there are a lot of people who do have that attitude that you cannot do enough for them. They won't do nothing for you, but you can't do enough for them.
And God is letting us know, the Lord is warning us in the Sermon on the Mount, and part of that, that we're not supposed to cast our pearls before swine. And that's a perfect example right there. It said, or they will trample them under their feet, which means that which you gave did not have any value to them at all. That which you sacrificed didn't have, was worthless to them. And it said that they would turn, they would trample them up under their feet. In other words, they would make them so useless that even if they gave them back to you, you wouldn't have no use for them. And they say they would turn and rend you. Turn from that which you gave them, and they would tear you apart. They would tear you apart with their words. They'd tear you apart with their insinuations. So now is not the time for us to be wasteful. Now is the time for us to appreciate that which God has given us. And if a situation like that arises, there's no problem in asking God to lead and guide you and direct you in the right direction that you should go in, so that that which you give or that which God has allowed you to give, that you wouldn't feel bad about giving it, because there's been many times over the course of our life, over the course of years, that we have given something to somebody, and then we turned around and we penalized somebody or somebody who truly was in need. Say, we say, I'm going to stop being nice to people because I had a bad situation with this other person. So we've got to be extra careful when it comes down to these things. I'm going to move right over here to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the first verse. So also reading out of the King James Version. And working with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, God's grace and his mercy, he extends grace to us. He extends mercy to us so that we can move forward, so that we realize that that grace or that mercy, because he told Brother Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. And when something is sufficient, then it will allow you, it will be enough for you. You might want a little bit more, but it's enough to sustain you until God decides that he wants to give you some more. His mercy endures forever. But when he brings forth his mercy, and then we begin to do some unmerciful things or treat our children, our relatives, our family in an unmerciful way, God is letting us know, and Paul is letting us know, God is letting us know through Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and working with him. For a brief moment in time, we became partners of God. We also urged you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So it's an urgency here. Say, please, please don't do that. You have no idea of what you're getting yourself into if you allow yourself to receive this mercy. And then turn around and act as though you were not forgiven. Act as though you did God a favor by allowing him to extend mercy unto you. Paul is letting us know in his own way, don't do this. This will contribute, you will become a coordinator of your own hurt. So my brothers and my sisters, now is not the time to be wasteful in the Lord. There are so many examples of being wasteful. As the word was saying, as I was telling you earlier, to do things excessively, to act as if God is doing us a favor. We're doing things in excess. We're doing things uselessly. We're doing things carelessly. And we're going to have to give an accounting for that. Now's not the time for us to faint. Now's not the time for us to consider doing anything except for what it is that God would have us to do. Our days are getting short. our opportunities are getting few. It's time for us to take advantage of those opportunities that God has given us. We don't want to return, as it says in Galatians, the 9th chapter through the 11th verse, we don't want to turn back into being slaves. We don't want to be hostages of the world anymore. We want to have that liberty. And see, if you notice, I did not mention freedom, because freedom is the price for freedom. But I say have the liberty. And see, liberty gives us a choice. Freedom is something else. See, freedom does not allow us to do that which we think that we're big enough to do, because there are rules and there are regulations to freedom. There are rules and there are regulations also to being able to work our way through things, because whether we know it or not, God gives us a choice. And he gives us a choice in such a way that it requires us to have a free will. He don't want to force us to do anything. He wants us to come willingly. He asked us, when the Lord asked us, when there's a healing, he said, Do you want to be made whole? The woman with the issue of blood, he asked her, because he's not going to force himself on anybody. But Lord is sure that each and every last one of us can look in our life and we could trim some, and see, we didn't got fat. We could trim away some of that fat, some of that wastefulness. We have to stop being like those little children that eat one or two bites and then they discard the whole container to return to it no more. We do that with a lot of things. We tarnish a lot of things. Go out there, work hard for it. And our country is probably one of the most wasteful nations on the face of the earth. And I remember as I was coming up, my parents used to all the time say, boy, eat that food. Eat all of that food. Because there's somebody somewhere in the world that's starving. Even at the dinner table, we're being wasteful. Because we don't have sit-down dinners anymore. Everybody in the house have an appetite for something different. When Mama used to go in the kitchen and cook, we all ate that one meal. We didn't have there was no options. It was either eat what Mama said eat, or eat what she prepared, or that's it. Mm-hmm. But now we got different schedules. We come to at different times. We got different appetites. Most of the time somebody come in and say, I've been cooking, or, you know, I got this, well, I'm not hungry. I will eat that later. And one of the most wasteful things that we can do, and that's not to be able to break bread together. Everybody scatter to their own separate rooms when it's time to eat. Not to surface until it's time for them to either relieve themselves or go to work or whatever, leave out the house. But we're being wasteful because we used to inquire about one another at that dinner table. How our parents would say, boy, how was your day at school? You know, did you think you could get that job? You know, and they would give us encouragement about those things. But now, where is the encouragement? We're wasting our time because we don't make no time. And it's the same thing if the Lord give you a project and you got a certain amount of time to secure that project, and then as the time draws near for you to complete that assignment, you had 3 months to do that assignment, then study and test, all of these things. Some people, they try to cram that information into their head at the last minute, knowing that to slowly, gradually, repetitiously do these things, it'll be more beneficial, because when you try to cram all those things in your head at one time, you can't retain anything. So, my brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to stop being wasteful. Now, as I say, the story of the prodigal son was a story within a story within a story. They talked about how he went out there, how he asked his father for certain things, how he asked for his inheritance. And then he moved as far away from his father as he could possibly move. And he got to where he was going and started living like a millionaire, knowing that that was the only income that he had. And I'm more than sure that anybody that has a large sum of money, you know, even if you got $1 million, you can find a way to spend that $1 million within a short amount of time. We see it all the time when people say, all that money gone. But whatever it is that God bless you with, whether it's talent, whether it's love, whether it's with materialistic things, whether it's with money, whether it's with time, it's time for us to stop wasting that time and do what it is that we need to do in the name of the Lord. And I can practically promise you that if we stop being wasteful and stop looking at the things that we don't have, trying to get the things that we want, we'll be a whole lot better, because if we lay out everything that we got from end to end, we realize that we got more than we could ever imagine. We got more than what we think we have. So I'll conclude this night by saying, Christian, stop being wasteful. Whatever it is that your lot in life is, it's something that we could give up, or something that we could sacrifice for the benefit of somebody else. Now, the example that I gave you about those shoes that the Lord blessed me with, if somebody want a pair, I mean, you know, we all got our favorites now. But if somebody want a secondary pair, hey, you got them. And I'm more than sure with food or whatever it is that we have. Thanksgiving was a wasteful time, because most of the Thanksgiving Day meal to some people ended up in a trash dumpster, when it could have went to that neighbor down the street, or we could have just invited him over and had him to break bread with us. So may God bless you, and may he ever keep you. And that's the word for tonight. Wasteful Christian, stop being wasteful. And I'll turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I, you know what? You said so many things that are, you hit the nail on the head in so many areas with these different stories that all led back to being wasteful. And it is so true, and it's sad. And God is not pleased with some of us as Christians on today, how we are being wasteful. And just like you said, and not only with our food, but with our gifts and our talents, our time, that we can be a blessing to someone else, or we can be a motivator to someone else, we can encourage someone else, but we are wasting our time because we're so infatuated with the world and caught up with ourselves, and the enemy is not allowing you to see that you are to be a doer of God's word by being examples, and so you can lead to others to Jesus Christ, and you can share a testimony that would encourage somebody's heart to let them know that if God did it for you, he can do it for me too. So we need to stop being wasteful, Christians, on today. I thank God for you, Deacon Marvin Cox, for this word on tonight. I know that the listeners were blessed, and I wish it was so that we can get this message, this tonight message, out to every pastor so they can play it in every church on tomorrow, because it is a true fact that we, being Christians, we are being wasteful in so many ways, and God is not pleased with it. So that's a much-needed word for such a time as this. We thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox, for this word on tonight. And now we know that God is glorified through you for sharing the word on today. So we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. We're going to ask that you would go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, as in the name of Jesus, we come again to say thank you for who you are. We give your name praise. We give you glory. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you that your word lets us know that even sometimes when we think we're doing right, we can be doing wrong by being wasteful in our gifts and our talents and our time, and being a blessing to others. We can be wasteful Christians. So we thank you for Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight, sharing this word on tonight, that we can take an examination of ourselves and make sure that we're not being wasteful Christians in today's world, that you will be glorified through us. So we pray, Lord, that you will continue to move by your Spirit. Have your way is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we pray in advance that you will move through your Spirit and by your Spirit on tomorrow through every door all over the land that's going to be open in Jesus' name and touch the vessels that are going to bring forth the word of God on tomorrow, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified on tomorrow, and every door that's open in Jesus' name on tomorrow, all over the land, that you'll be glorified through it all, is our prayer. Continue to move by your spirit in every vessel that's being doers of your word, Heavenly Father, all over the land without hidden motives or agendas. I thank you that you're not like man, and that you search our hearts, and you know who's for real and who's not. So we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that still works and would never lose its power. We just give your name praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, on tonight, we pray, Heavenly Father. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in the future for us, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, know that God loves you on tonight, listeners. Know that I love you, too. Continue to spread the word about this worldwide platform. We're on every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m., sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified, and most of all, God will be glorified through us and through that. We are his servants, his vessels, and ambassadors in the earth. So we just give God praise on tonight, and we just thank you for tuning in faithfully. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Until the next time, good night. Remember that this is a spiritual war that we are in, not man's war, but it's a spiritual war. Good night.
Might as well put your hands